Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws
us to It's testimony time. Well, how many love testimonies? Wow. I want to call on our sister Teresa to give us the first testimony. Put your hands together for Teresa.
Hallelujah. Do ya? Please, my name is Teresa Gorman, and I'm in First Love, a dancing star. Please, my testimony is about tongue speaking. And last week, LP Ida sang a song concerning tongue speaking. You remember? Yes. Then I remembered that I have a testimony about tongue speaking. It happened when, after SHS, my reverend, by then, Reverend Kingsley Tete, Ashalibu Trade Branch, he prayed for us, those who couldn't speak in tongues. So we started speaking in tongues, and he told us that every day we should speak it, okay, we should pray in tongues so that we will grow in it. So I was doing that every day. And during that time, I wanted something from God. So I was praying to God for something. And my house is closer to the church, so every evening, and then dawn, I used to go to the church to pray. One time I went to the church and someone was there. So I decided to go to a park. That park, my mom had told me that there are forces there. I was like, I'll go. Because she herself, she prays there. So I went to the park. I mean, the park, it has two poles. One side had light pole and light. And then the other side was dark. So I started praying at the part where there was no light. Then I was like, here a lot of people, I mean, it's too dark, so let me go to the other side that had light. So I walked across, I went to the side that had light. I was even singing, I've not started praying. I was just singing spiritual song. So as I was at the other side too, I was like, a lot of people will see me praying. I don't like that. So I adjusted myself in front of a bush. That place, it wasn't too dark, it wasn't too bright. So I started with this tree song. It's a worship song. And to me, meaning all powers belong to God. So I started singing it, and then I decided to check, look my back, whether people were looking at me. And when I turned, I saw an object. And at first, I thought it was a pole. So I was like, this is a pole. I was like, no, but I walked across the park. I didn't see any pole, so I decided to go closer and see what it was. So I got closer and I did hi to the thing. And the object just dropped the head like this, and I realized it was a dog because I saw the ear. And it wasn't a physical dog. It was transparent. So instantly I was charged. I was confused. Mixed feelings. Bored. Charged. So I started, the only thing that came in my mind was to speak in tongues. I started praying in tongues. I was just rattling in tongues. And I decided to look back to see what was happening. When I checked, the dogs sped into the bush when I started speaking the tongues. Instantly, I also organized my slippers. I also ran to. My mother was like, why are you coming from? I said, I went for joggings. Because I felt like, what I saw, I felt like if I tell people, they wouldn't believe it. And I was not even going to pray and cast out demons. I was just going to thank God. I was, so for a long time, I couldn't tell people. And then when LPI just sang that song, I hope you remember. Yeah, then I remember that I have thanks. So I encourage you, if you don't speak in tongues here, I'm sure after service, that they will call out for you. Come and, you must speak in tongues, because if you don't speak in tongues, it's like you being born again and not speaking in tongues. It's like buying the phone without a charger. You must speak in tongues, yeah. So, Please, and I thank Daddy so much for believing. I mean, I thank God for letting me join a church that believes in speaking in tongues, because it's not every church that believes in tongues speaking. And Daddy has also encouraged us to always pray in tongues, at least an hour. If you're on campus, you don't know the forces that are working against you. And for you, maybe you see a cow, not a dog. So, please, we must speak in tongues. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Shall we put our hands together and welcome Noble? Noble, is Noble here? Noble. Okay, put your hands together for Noble.
Please, my name is Noble Apa. I completed Takoradi Polytechnic, and I'm here in Kodebu Church, the First Life Church, and I'm with the sound team. My testimony this morning is about Bishop's message and how it affected my roommate way back in school. It all happened when I was in school. I had this roommate, and then he normally used to go for clubbing and then for parties as well. And anytime he returns, he's always drunk. So I have to make sure I clean him and then fetch him some water to bath and then get him a place to sleep, that is on his bed, to lay him on his bed. So I got to a point, I said, how long can this thing continue? I think I really have to affect this guy in a positive way. So then I normally used to play Bishop's message in my room anytime he's around, or time I'm around in the room, I play Bishop's messages. But I got to a point, he'll be lying on his bed quietly. And I didn't know for all that while Bishop's message was actually affected him. Until one day I invited him to church. Normally I used to struggle with him. Anytime I invite him to church, I struggle with him a lot. But on that Saturday, as I told him that I'll be going with him to church on Sunday, he told me that he'll be ready on Sunday so that we all go to church. So on Sunday, I took him to church, and then my pastor preached. After preaching, he told me that he had a secret to tell me. I said, what is it? And he said, anytime I play Bishop's message in a room, you know, he will be on his bed quietly, but he'll be listening to it. And Bishop's message has really affected him so much that even it got to a point when our service postings were in, he was being transferred to the Eastern Region. So he called me that I should organize Bishop's message for him to take it to Eastern Region so that he can be listening to it. So Bishop, I want to thank you so much for your messages. Your messages are really having so much impact on us. And I also want to encourage anyone, you should always turn your atmosphere. Even if you are sleeping, let the messages be on, because you might not know who the message might be affecting. So try your possible best and then be playing Bishop's messages in your rooms. And Bishop, thank you so much also for giving us a medium to store your messages and also to listen to it. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Wow, put your hands together for Noble. Amen. Well, it's time for the word. This is my favorite part of the service. Hallelujah. And this morning we have our Father in the house. Amen. With Jesus' joy, I want us to rise to our feet and welcome Bishop Doug Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thanks for the opportunity we have to receive your word and to be in your presence. We are blessed. We are grateful. Guide us. We thank you for all that you are doing, you have done, and you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to share with you about our glorious destiny. Your glorious destiny. Amen. All of you in Kolebu are blessed to be hearing about the glorious destiny this morning. Amen. So, glorious destiny. Ephesians chapter. Let's start from chapter 1. It says, I do not cease, verse 16. We are looking at a book in the Bible, which is very important, perhaps the most loaded book of all the books in the New Testament is the book of Ephesians, because it describes our lives and describes so much about Christianity that is very important for us to learn. So when you come to church, don't be so much interested in hearing, you know, little tidbits about maybe three ways to do this or four things to do that, but be concerned about getting the scripture in the message, because it's the scripture that is important. We are too young. I'm too young to know anything. Do you get what I'm saying? We are too young to be wise. Do you understand? Yes, we are too young to be wise. So we need the real wisdom from God Himself. So that is what I need you to be looking towards. Like, what is the wisdom from God Himself and in His Word? Amen.
Amen.
So that is what whatever we are saying that is not based on that is really rubbish. You know, it is not, worth listening to even. Is it not true? You may not know how unwise we are. We have nothing. Do you understand? So it's God we have. So I want us to be thinking about what God says, what His Word says, and we are going to learn a lot from the Lord. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, this is the Bible, and we are in Ephesians, the most loaded of the books. It says in verse 15, when I heard of your faith, verse 16, I did not stop praying and thanking God for you. What was I praying for? Verse 17. I was praying that the God of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. All right? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wow. What does that mean? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him means that you would be wise and things would be revealed to you. Wisdom, revelation. What do you think? And it's a spirit. Just like how you can have evil spirits. This is a good spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, like things will be revealed to you. Things will be revealed to you, and then you sort of be wise in the knowledge of God. Okay? Then verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, which means you have another pair of eyes apart from the two eyes we are seeing. All right? The American Bible and other versions say the eyes of your heart. You see, you should be enlightened. So that you have two other eyes. Don't be concerned about having two more eyes. You should have even been praying that you would have about six pairs of eyes. You know, some of the creatures in the Bible had eyes behind on all sides. If you had more eyes, you could see more things, know what is going on everywhere. And that is why they have invented all these cameras and all these things they are doing all the time, is to have eyes everywhere. Because if you had more eyes, you'd be far less limited than you are. All right? So pray that the eyes of your understanding should be enlightened, that you know the hope of your calling. All right? In other words, now that God has called you, what hopes do you have? Do you get it? Wow. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? In other words, like you've inherited something, but what are the riches of the inheritance of the saints? You see, because sometimes you've inherited something, but the riches of it, you don't realize how rich you are by the inheritance you've received. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like you've inherited, maybe your father is dead, or whoever is dead who will give you inheritance has died. And now you've got inheritance. But when they tell you, oh, you have inherited this, you have inherited this, you have inherited this, you say, oh, what is this? This one is not a good thing. What is this? This one is not, I cannot use it for anything. What is this? I cannot do anything with it. And then you walk away. not knowing that the thing you have despised is the main thing. Yeah. I know somebody who inherited some things in Ghana, inherited some things abroad, different places. And the oldest one and the most dilapidated structure that the person inherited became the most valuable of all the inheritance that the person received. Yeah. The most dilapidated, outdated, decrepit structure. You see, became the most powerful part of the inheritance. So sometimes you can inherit something, but you don't know that it's a wild thing that you've inherited because you don't know things. You've been a poor man for a long time, and I mean, you are now inheriting things and you don't know how great they are. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So God wants you to know the riches of the inheritance. So I never knew what was in my calling. And no one really knows what is in your calling. I have not heard, I have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has planned for you. Sometimes you meet your husband, but you don't know that that was your husband you met. That's true. It has not entered your heart. When I met my wife on campus, I didn't know she was my wife. I had no idea. Yeah. In fact, I remember that I forgot her name once. And then I met her. And then the way she said hello, so friendly, so nice. I was feeling shy to tell her that I'd forgotten her name. You know, so I came back to my roommate and I asked my roommate that, do you remember that girl, the one who was whatever? Well, what is her name? I didn't know I was asking the name of my wife. Yeah. So you can never tell what is the hope of your calling and what are the things that God has in store for you. May you experience all the wonderful things that God has in store. Amen. And then verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us or towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places? In other words, God is saying in verse 19 that what is the exceeding greatness of power that is available to Christians? Because there are powers, there are real things, you know. Like our sister was saying that she saw the dog there. These things are real. You may not believe everything, but you know, it's up to you. If somebody came along and said, you know, he was riding a horse and then suddenly there was a light and then he became blind. So I was riding a horse, then suddenly I felt that I became blind. Then after that, somebody came and prayed for me. Then some things dropped on the floor. When I looked on the floor, it was something like fish scales. And then since then, my life has changed. God is God. You may say, this guy, is he a correct person? Do you understand? It's like he's doing, but that was Paul. Yeah. That was Paul. You know? So brothers and sisters, there's power available for you. And Jesus himself told us, you know, he said, look, when they were coming to catch him, he said, look, I could call my father, he will bring about 12 legions of angels. So you must learn to pray for angels, because Jesus said, look, it's because of something that I'm not asking my father to bring, release angels. Be calling for angelic support in your life and your ministry. Angels do a lot of things and they help, and those are the powers that are available for us. And angels were part of the ministry of Christ. So expect great power to assist you. So he shall give his angels charge over thee to assist you, to help you in all your way. You are not alone. I said you are not alone. Amen. And the kind of power is the type of power that raised Christ from the dead. All right? Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions. So there are things that are principalities. A principality is a territorial spirit. You see, in the Bible, when you read the Bible, you'll find almost every animal has a spiritual version. There are spiritual animals. You see, when the girl was saying that she saw a dog, even in hell, the Bible says, and outside are the dogs. That is when he's talking about heaven. He said, in heaven will be these people. But he said, outside are the dogs. Yes. Do you think they are physical dogs? They must be spiritual. Spiritual dogs. Yes. Every animal, horses. In the book of Revelation, I saw a black horse and a rider. Do you think it was a physical horse? It's a spiritual horse. The horses and the chariots that came for Elijah, do you think they were physical horses or spiritual horses? They must be spiritual horses. I don't know physical horses that go into the air. Yeah. In Revelations, I think chapter 18, it talks about, I saw frogs coming out of the mouth of the Antichrist's mouth. You know, frogs. I saw three spirits, like three devils, like frogs. A lot of things, they exist. So when he's mentioning dominion, powers, might, things that are there, they are there. But Christ has raised us high above all these. So they are now afraid of you. Yeah, you must learn it. When you learn it, you will become like an African hunter. Do you know what is an African hunter? Or a Ghanaian hunter? I learned all about hunting from one of our pastors. Yeah. One of our pastors used to be a hunter. Yeah. He used to hunt in the forest. Yeah. Barefoot. Chasing animals with a torch. In the forest alone. And he said, when I was tired, then I lie down and sleep in the forest. Yeah. You see, because all the animals have a fear of you. Even the snake which can kill you is afraid of you. As soon as you step on the ground, any snake in the area moves. That's why it's not common to be bitten by a snake, although they are around. Snake don't need to see you to know. You never see a snake that will raise their head to say, who is around? Then it goes back. Then it starts moving. No, it doesn't do that. They don't need to see. They don't even see. They can sense the movement. You never see a snake and say, three people are coming. Let's go this way. So he said, every place where your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. So when you step, you see that the spirits are scattering. That shall be your story in Jesus' name. So God has given us great power in Christ. All right? And has put all things under his feet. Dominions, names that are named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. One time we're going to have a crusade in a Volta reading. There was a certain witch doctor who was staying in that town. And he was predicting so many things and doing so many things. Yeah, the day before we came for the crusade. The day before we came for the crusade, there is a tree that he stays under. The tree came down. Yes. Prince, is it not true? Yes, and he died. He was saying the crusade will not happen unless what? Unless he's dead. And he died on the morning of the crusade. Yeah. Yeah. Power for power. So there are dominions. There are mights. There are names. But Christ is far, it's not near, far above. Amen. Chapter 2, Ephesians. Remember always to be interested in the Bible part of the preaching. That's the part that is solid. The rest is just helping you to see the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you has he quickened. In other words, you he's made alive. who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, as long as you are a sinner, you are dead. The Bible calls you dead. What is the meaning of dead? You can't talk. You can't move. You can't relate. That's why we bury people even though we love them. They don't relate anymore. Hey, 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 talk to me. Come back. Don't die. Don't leave me. It doesn't respond. And you realize that you have to take a decision and take the person away. Yes. So when you die, when you are not in Christ, you are dead. In trespass and sin, you don't relate with God. You can't speak to God. You can't pray to God. Yes. John 9:31 says, we know that God heareth not sinners. God doesn't listen to sinners. We know that God heareth not sinners. God doesn't listen to sinners. So we say, we are all children of God. We are not all children of God. We are all creatures of God, creation, but not all children of God. Are you there? Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. All right? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All right? Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 2 again. It says, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, whatever the world is doing, you are flowing. So you are flowing with the world. And then it says that, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the ways of the world are dictated by the prince of the power of the air. The fashion is dictated by the prince of the power of the air. The lifestyle is dictated by the prince of the power of the air. The financial behavior is dictated by the prince of the power of the air. The things you see as great are dictated by the prince of the power of the air. So the world system is guided basically by demons. All right? And we were all following. That is why one of the ways to be successful is just not to be like the world. The world financial system is to take debt loans for everything. Just not taking loans alone can make you a rich man. Yes. Yeah. Everybody in the world has sex with somebody else. Only not doing that can make you different. Yes. Everything in the world, if you decide, I'll not follow them. That alone. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. That alone can make you highly blessed. So for me, when I finished this school right here, you know, I decided not to go with the ways of the world to America to go and seek further fortunes. Not that it's not a good thing, but I didn't have the leading of the Lord to do that. And those type of decisions make a difference in your life. Instead of going with the river, your life goes a different way. It may not matter here, but there it will matter a lot. All right? So, let's carry on. Verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation. We used to behave. Conversation is the old word. These are old words. King James was translated by King Henry VIII when he wanted to marry a new wife. He organized this translation. And that's why it's called King James. Yes. This is the best translation. All right. So, it's a very, very old word. We don't use the word conversation in the same way. It means behavior. So before, we used to have our behavior in the flesh. All right? And we were just fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So what is an unbeliever? This is a description. Like, whatever you feel, you do. You fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So when you become a Christian, you are not fulfilling all your desires. You have the desires, but to fulfill it is the sin. You get what I'm saying? How many have desires? Only those in the front have desires. I think the back row from this pillar, they are not able to have desires. Do you have desires? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with having desires. Elijah had desires. Bible says he was a man of like passions. So he was having similar desires like we have. He was really struggling. Elijah was really struggling. He's the only one in the Bible whose passions are mentioned. Yeah. And even though he had these passions and desires, God answered his prayers. Is it not fantastic? And he did fantastic miracles. Yes. And he went to heaven with a chariot. Wow. So it's not that we don't have desires when you are a Christian. When you are a Christian, you have desires. Sometimes we even have more desires. Sometimes as a Christian, you have even more desires. Sometimes when you are a Christian, your desires are even more inflamed. Hey. Turn to Romans. Yes, I was saying that when you are a Christian, sometimes you have even more desires. Romans chapter 7. Are you there? Now, verse 5. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Look, let's read it slowly so that we don't get angry, okay? When we were in the flesh, the motions of sins did work in our members. Okay, our members are like the members of our body to bring forth fruit unto death. Verse 6. Now that we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin but by the law. In other words, I wouldn't know what is right or wrong if there was no law. Isn't it? For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Like you wouldn't have even had any like interest here if you hadn't read that. Don't go here. True. Verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Longing, it means longing. Yes. You see, sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all kinds of longings by the commandment, or because of the commandment that all these longings were created. Most of the things we long for because they are in short supply. Yes. They are in short supply. That's why we want them. Like they are abundant. You just look at it. Look at it. That is why people get married and you see them living with a beautiful lady. When she passes by, they don't even lift up. They don't even lift up their eyes to look at it. But before, when it was in short supply. So I was alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived. And I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And by it, it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Alright? Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. So that sin by the commandment became exceedingly sinful. Alright? Perhaps you could understand it a little better if I... Yes. Verse 8. Are you there? Verse 5. I'm reading from another Bible. Romans 7 verse 5, American Bible. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law. You see, the passions are aroused by the law. So sometimes Christians have more passions aroused by more laws that are created. Yeah. Once you take away the law, so when people go swimming, they're wearing bikinis. The bikinis are smaller than the normal panties. I mean, they're about 1/8. 1/8 or 1/7. The size of the panties that a lot of Christian sisters wear. Yeah. But nobody looks twice. Nobody looks at them. They'll be passing swimming plenty. Because there's no law that, or that law has been set aside that you shouldn't dress like that to swim. So they are all swimming freely. Yes. But the law that you should not see this. Arouse, I want to see. When the law is not there, you see the thing walking around and there's no passion. So the laws arouse in you passions. Yeah. This is our condition. I'm not bringing a solution. I'm telling you the problem that we have. Go back to Ephesians before we get lost. That is why it is, you find that most people who make laws break them. Yeah. Don't do this, don't say this, don't do that. So many things, you end up breaking it. Especially if it's not a law that God has made. All the other laws are man-made laws. Yes. For instance, in Christians, believe in watching murder. Do you see? But don't believe in watching sex. Do you understand? Yeah. Christians have a law that Christians have made that you can watch murder or murderers and killers of different types, like Steven Seagal, Rambo, James Bond, Van Damme, like people who cut off heads, and Terminator who remove your heart, put it down. Yes, but if there's any kissing or sex or anything like that. That's a law. That's a law for hypocritical Christians. All of us who are hypocrites. Yeah, but murder is not something a Christian is ever supposed to do. But we have even our favorite murderers. Yes. Most of you here have a favorite murderer. Like, oh, the murderer I prefer is Rambo. Or the murderer I prefer is Steven Seagal. Or James Bond. Is your favorite murderer? Jet Li. Somebody who can kill a lot of people. Is your favorite? Hey! But if James Bond starts to kiss someone... So those laws have aroused more passions in Christians. And Christians who have... Anyway, let me just... Ephesians! Enough. Where were we? You see, you've confused us. Chapter 2. Yes, verse 3. We all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, or fulfilling. So you must be concerned not so much of the existence of the desire, but of the fulfilling of the desires. And you are safer when you acknowledge the existence of the desires. Yes. You see, if you are a girl and you realize that you are being drawn to this boy, or you are being drawn to a man, it's better to acknowledge it. That I can see that this guy, I am drawn like an afflicted towards him. I am helplessly being drawn towards the guy. When you say that, the power of it reduces in your life. Why? Because, listen, why does the power, I'm preaching, Why does the power reduce? The power reduces because evil is empowered by darkness. So when light comes, if there are armed robbers or thieves or people moving around, they are limited because of the light. Once you put on the light, it's daylight. It's like armed robbers have to rest. They have to rest. They have to take a break. But darkness allows all the evils to come. So Christians harm themselves by being consistently hypocritical and denying the existence of passions and desires in their flesh and in their mind. That is how Christians are. We wear big, big glasses and look very holy and like you don't have feelings. Hey! Meanwhile, the desires are more than the average. What do you think? Fantastic? Yes. And if you are a brother, you see that you are being drawn. The more you are open about it, the more its power is reduced. And if you are two people moving together and you are falling in love with each other, even if you are ever able to be open, say, you know, I sense something. You know, that is depending on how your relationship is. You may be able to even kill it by not allowing yourself to just be walking together. I don't say anything, you also don't say. I don't say, you 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 don't say. Then what the f***? It has happened. What has happened? What has happened? You should have spoken about it and killed it and brought it in the open. Yes. True. Hmm. So fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. I tell you, your greatest salvation is to acknowledge that you are you. When you rise up, say, I am me, and I am manifesting already. I haven't even gone out this morning, and I can see what is happening. Hey! You see that you start to gain power over yourself. Yeah. Rather than walking in quietness and allowing the thing to grow until it has happened. Verse 4. And by nature, you are a child of wrath. It says, when you live your life fulfilling all your feelings, you are a child of wrath. In other words, you are somebody reserved for the anger of God. You are children of wrath. God does not want us to live fulfilling every desire that comes to our mind. When you do that, you are a child of the wrath of God. You can't sleep with everybody. Or people that you are not married to. You can't do that. You can't drink whatever you feel like drinking. You can't smoke whatever you feel like smoking. You can't go fall in love with people all over the place. You cannot just be yourself. Yeah, I know you are a woman and you want a man. It's like Bluetooth or whatever attracted to the stronger. Huh? Wi-Fi? Signal, you are taking the stronger signal. You even have a beloved and you see a stronger signal and you are going there. You can't do that. Are you listening to me? That is the difference between Christians and non-Christians. Christians are not fulfilling. They have the desires, but they are not. When I was in medical school, the people on the road, they all had girlfriends, boyfriends, come and park their car. Whilst we are in our room, you see that somebody is virtually married next door. Yeah. And I used to see them. And as they were fulfilling their desires, I was in my room. It wasn't that I didn't have desires. I was on fire in my room. Yeah. I was in flames. Hey. Fire for fire. I was there. I had several fire extinguishers in my room. That is why I didn't wait long to get married. A Christian has to marry young. It's imperative that a Christian marries young. Because if you don't marry young, how will you fulfill these desires? You are not superhuman. The desires are there. You are having the desires. What are you going to do about it? That's why a Christian cannot say, I'm going to buy a fridge. I'm going to buy chairs. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to rent a house. I'm going to get money. So many things before you marry. Your colleagues, your friends who are unbelievers, they don't need fridge. They don't even need to marry. They will not marry till later in life. You meet your friends, your child will be taller than you. He has now given birth to a newborn baby. Yes, brand new baby. It's not like this. Your child has been born and has grown up like this. And he's now holding a newborn baby. It is what I've seen it before. Yeah. You see, why are we reading all these things? I'm showing the implications. People don't realize that there is a difference between Christians and non-Christians. In especially the administration of your body. Yeah, the administration of your body and the administration of your flesh. Yes, the management of your flesh. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You have to know how to possess or manage your vessel, your container in sanctification and honor. Yeah. Don't compare yourself with your your colleagues who are not Christians. They don't have your values. Are you listening to me? Yeah. That is why Christians have to marry young. And that is why the ladies, you need to be wise when you are young, because you are not likely to get a certain kind of brother at a certain age. It's like, why didn't he marry up to now? Unless he's a widower. Yes. Or a second marriage. Yeah. So if you are a sister, your humility must come early. And your wisdom must come quickly. Because when you pass a certain stage, certain kinds of brothers will not marry you. They've married already. Because those who wanted to manage their bodies by a certain time, Charlie, let us be free. True. Why do you think we are reading these verses in the Bible? They have a meaning, practical implication for our lives. Yeah. Are you there? And sometimes your parents, they are unbelievers. And they know that you are sleeping around. They just don't bring a pregnancy. It's an unspoken thing. Just, we know you are sleeping around everywhere and all that. That's what we also did. But only don't bring a pregnancy. Be mature. That's the unspoken advice. I mean, Charlie, look, we know what you are doing, but you know, you should know how to keep yourself. Yeah. Don't get a disease and also don't bring a pregnancy. So, but we know what you are doing. The man who dropped you like that, we know who he is. And it was another car the last time, so we know. And there was another one before that one too. Are you still around or you're going? Now, verse 4. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions. Okay? No, I've changed my version. I'm going back to good old King James. I love King James. Original. Where is it? Right here. Okay. Even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive, or has quickened us together. Quickened is an old word again. I told you this. Henry VIII, their time, 16th century English. The words have changed in their meaning. Quickened is an old word which means to come alive. So the newer Bibles use come alive, but the old Bible uses quicken. The reason why we use the old Bible is that it helps you to see the words as the word of God, as against your normal thoughts. When you are remembering and the thoughts are coming to your mind, certain words come to you and you know, it says, you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know that is the word of God that is in your mind. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So when you were dead in trespasses and sins, God made you alive through Christ and has saved you. So to be saved is to be born again or to be made alive again. Yeah, that's the word, born again, made alive. When you are born, you come alive. If you are born today, that's the day you came alive on earth. So when you come to Christ, you are quickened or you are made to be alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. Amen. You are saved by grace. Amen. Not because you are good. You are not the good type. You are the bad type. And by grace are you saved. How many are the bad type? Look, when you feel good about yourself, you are proud. Pride feels good. Write it down. Pride feels good. Yeah, it's pride makes you feel good. Like, oh, I did this, I did that, I'm like this, I did this, and I've never done this, I've never done that. I feel good about myself. That is pride. So when you feel good, and you feel good about yourself, is a sign of your pride, even about good things. And Satan knows that our most deadly enemy is pride, and it will cause us to fall. So he wants us to be proud even about good things. And it was those who were proud about good things who killed Christ when he came. I fast 3 times a week. I pray, whatever. I tithe. I do this. They are the ones who killed Christ. Yeah, those who feel good about good things in them. I've not done this before. I've never been here before. I've never done this before. I'm the type who this. I never. Pride feels good. And feels good about himself. and makes you feel good. So sometimes when you feel bad about yourself, it's actually sometimes a very good thing to feel bad about yourself. Because it reveals to you like the true reality of who you are, which is equal to nothing. Hallelujah. How many are glad that sometimes you feel so terrible about who you are? You don't even want to come to church. When you are walking through the door, something is telling you, don't go there, don't go there. Others are going there except you. You shouldn't be there. You know yourself. Now, verse 6, he has raised you up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about your glorious destiny. Wow. You are now seated in the heavenly places. So, you are seated here in Kolebu, but you are also seated in heavenly places. This shows that a Christian operates in two realms all the time. You operate in the supernatural heavenly realm, and at the same time, you operate on earth. That is why a natural thing can kill you, and a supernatural thing can also kill you. Yeah. So if you joke with natural things, if this chair is electrocuted and you sit on it, you will die. Because you are sitting here on earth. And if you also joke with supernatural heavenly things, when we talk about spirits and things that are operating in the realms of darkness, if you joke with it, it can also affect you because we are in two worlds. So as I speak, sometimes I may speak naturally and sometimes I just move into the spirit and say certain things which are prophetic. Because we are seated in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. This is kindness. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. How ungrateful we are, you see, just like a lady who cannot get married, and you go and negotiate for her to get married. After she has gotten, before they get married, you should see how humble they are. Her, they look so pitiful, so pleading, so soft, so gentle. You make the mistake of signing, you see a wicked person. You never know that a person is wicked. Yeah. You never know. You know, and I'm not talking about non-Christians. When I preach, try to ask yourself, what is he talking about? Is he talking about Christians or non-Christians? Or even pastors sometimes? Every group is different. We have different diseases in Ghana. If I'm teaching you medicine, I have to teach you a lot about malaria, cholera, typhoid, meningitis, such diseases. If you go to other places, you have to learn about other conditions, which you will hardly see. Alzheimer's disease, cystic fibrosis, and what again? Multiple sclerosis. Very different diseases, but it depends on where you are. So every group has its spirits, and I'm talking about Christian behavior. I'm talking about Christians, not about being married. When you're married to an unbeliever, he doesn't care. But the Christians see that he can't go anywhere. He's subject to whatever he has received. These are different types of marriages altogether. Yeah. That is where you see. And what I'm saying is that when you see them in the church, so pitiful. Oh, Bishop, every time I be beloved. God himself supports. Hey! Pleading. When they marry and they are in the house and you behave like Vashti. So proud and so difficult. Yes. Yes, so difficult. So proud. But I'm talking about Christians. Don't misunderstand. If I was preaching to Ambly, I would never say what I'm saying. Never. It would be, I would give completely different example. Totally. This is for Christian couples where the husband will never leave you. He will not. He will, once he signed, that is it. That's why the angel told Joseph, don't be afraid to marry her, because you must be afraid to marry some people. Yes, you must be afraid to marry some people. Yes. Fear not to take Mary as thy wife. Yes. You must be afraid. Yes. This thing that you are signing. Whenever I officiate a wedding and I go to the registry to sign, I ask them when I hold the pen. After they've all signed, the parents have all signed, I say, should I sign? And then they will be smiling. They say, are you sure that I should sign? But when I sign, that's the last signature. It means you are married. And I've never heard anybody say, don't sign. And I'm saying that God has been kind to us, has saved us so nicely. Wretched people like us, mobiles. And when we come to Christ, you see us behaving so arrogantly. We don't care about Him. Eh? We don't care about Him. Christ is suffering from what we call in marriage ROL, receiver of little. He receives little. Okay, yeah. ROL, Christ. He has taken us, and look at us. He has become an ROL, receiver of little. Yes. Some of you, if they marry you, their husband has contracted what we call ROL. He is going to be a receiver of little for life. Christ has become what we call in marriage RC, responsibility contractor. He's a contractor who has gone to contract you to look after you. But he will not get anything for having saved us. He won't get anybody to do something for him spontaneously. Oh yes. It's about you looking after the person. Provide this, buy this, buy this, bring this, care for this, do this, do this, do this. Hey! Responsibility contractor. Get up, cook, do everything. You will be lucky if you ever receive anything. Maybe if visitors come, you will be served alongside with them. Special glasses and plates will be brought out for the visitors. And you will be added on. Because you are in a what we call ROL situation. What is ROL? Receiver of little. You are looking at me. Analyze. When you go, you see. ROL. Christ. Look at it. It keeps ever. By grace are you saved. When you were dead. When you were nasty. He saved you. And He saved us. Then we are in Christ. We don't do anything for Him. Sir Christ, you are lucky I came to church today. Christ, don't let your service be too long. You know, Christ, I'm a busy person, you know. Yeah. And so many things. So I believe that a Christian must say thank you by his life. Say thank you to God. Eh? Don't let Christ be an ROL as far as you are concerned. Christ should receive much. He should receive spontaneous care from you. Spontaneous, what He wants. What He wants from you, spontaneously, without requesting.
Please, can I have a this thing?
Please, can I have something to eat? Darling, Francisca, please. Francisca, it's about 3:30 in the afternoon. Have you eaten anything? Francisca, it's 4:30 now. You said that the food will be ready soon. Yeah.
ROL, receiver of little. You must request, Mr. Man, before you get something, you know. Oh, Christ, you must request before you get us to win even one soul for you. Better make a special request before we sing in the choir for you. Christ, we have no time. You know, Christ, we are busy people. You will know you were saving people you saved, but you must know that you saved a busy person. Is a what? ROL. Receiver of little. Most Christian husbands are Josephs. A Joseph is somebody who doesn't say bad things about his wife. Yes. When Joseph saw Mary, that Mary was, a bad woman. She has gone to sleep with somebody. When she came, said, how do you become pregnant? He said, it's a spirit that impregnated me. He didn't want to mind her. That's all. Do you understand? He didn't want to mind her. He didn't want to talk about it again. It's like, I'll just do a private disengagement. Say, yeah, a spirit has impregnated you. Mary. He said that he has married a very bad woman. And he decided to pride, like he won't even make a case. That's Joseph. Most Christian husbands are Josephs. Yeah, you see them in the house coolly. ROL. It's my duty. RC, it's my portion. It's my portion. They'll be there. If you ask them, how is everything? Oh, by the grace of. Is it doing? Oh, by God's grace. She's trying. She's trying. I'm preaching to Christians. Don't take my preaching outside into the world. This is Christianity today. Yeah. Are you still around?
Yeah.
We haven't even reached the message, you know. I don't know. It's taking so long. Okay. Let's see what we can do to finish up. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is your destiny. This is your destiny. You've been created in Christ. I'm a new creation. Is there not a song like that? No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. I'm a new creation.
I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you, and I will praise you, Lord. And I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of all that you have done. A light has filled my spirit. Joy that knows no limits.
Here in the grace of God I stand.
And I will praise you, Lord. And I will praise you, Lord. And I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of all that you have done. A joy.
A joy that knows no limits.
Lightness in my spirit.
Here in the grace of God I stand.
I'm
a new creation. Sing it now.
I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in new creation. I am a new creation. Oh, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you. And I will praise you, Lord. Yes, I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of all that you have done. Oh, a joy, a joy, a joy that knows no limits. A life that's in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand.
All right, listen. Most of the time when we sing, we don't understand what we are singing and we don't even think about what we are singing. But he says we are created in Christ. The person who is controlling the thing, try to make it such that the words we are singing are the words that are there. Even when the song is going very fast and never be out of sync. When I was in Korea, we were singing a song very fast. Perfect timing the person was doing on the screen in the stadium. Very beautiful. We didn't know the words, but we were able to flow. So, Father, we pray for an angel to go and help this man over there. And today, in Jesus' name. Hey! Okay? Did you hear me at the back there? Or the one who is controlling the thing? Are you nearby? Raise your hand so I can see. Yeah. Improve from today. Amen. From today, any time we are in delayed or we keep the song wrong word, we will bath you after that. In fact, even today, we will bath you after. Okay. Okay. Don't forget to arrest him and bring him to me after church. All right. Are you listening? Yeah. Because we are ending. We have a concert tonight. Listen, for by grace, are you saved? Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and to good works. That's why you've been made a new creation, for good works. So that song should actually have, and to good works. We are a new creation unto good works. We are in the grace of God we stand. That's really what he should have been saying. Because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I don't know when they are composing the song, they don't want to really say the things that are in the Bible. You know? Go around it like it's a poem. This is your destiny, good works. If you miss your good works, you've missed your destiny. Yeah. That's all I want to say today. If you miss your good works, you've missed your destiny. The reason you came to this world, you'll not fulfill it. And the best I can describe will be somebody who has got a ticket, visa, everything. You get to New York. You are going to America. When you get there, they say, please, can you come to the side? And when you go to the side, they discuss with you, and they explain to you that, sorry, we cannot receive you into America. And you are sent back on the next flight back to Ghana. Have you seen some people like that before? You see that the person's heart is broken because the reason why he came, he couldn't even enter and start. Huh? When we went to Korea, you know, this time, they selected one of our team. We went with a whole lot of people. One person was taken out. And they told him that you are going back to Ghana. Yes, even though he had a visa and everything. He said, you are going. He had come for the church growth conference. They selected him like this out. Everybody go. You alone. Stay. And they put him in a room and they said, you are going back to Ghana, no matter what you say. Yeah. And there were some other people too who had been selected. We don't know why. Yeah. It's one of the most disheartening things. You only be frustrated as you are sitting on the plane going back. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Longest journey back home. Never starting the work for which you landed. Yes. Some of you, this is how your life is right now. You have not yet put your foot into the good works that Christ has ordained. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is what I was called to do, not medicine. No. Medicine was my education. I need to be educated. I need an education. And everybody needs university education. It's a very basic education. Yes. Especially when you are young. Even when you get a university education, when you are a bit older, it's almost a little different. So try to get university education as young as possible. And if you are a male nurse, you must know that most people would prefer a girl as a nurse to come with your bony fingers to come and give injections. They would prefer. So all of you are going to become doctors in Jesus' name. Male nurse, dear, your destiny is to be a doctor in Jesus' name. I declare all of you are promoted to medical school realities in Jesus' name. Do you receive it? Do you receive it? If there are any male nurses here, stand up so that I pray for you. Father, I thank you for a glorious translation from male nursing into real medicine. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. It will come to pass. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that you will experience. I'm always getting messages from the male nurses who were around, who are now in Russia, China. They are all doing medicine, all from First Lab. Oh yeah, they are all going to be doctors. How many of you are coming to back somebody, a man? Come on, please. It's not your glorious destiny. Your glorious destiny is something. Hallelujah. What are the good works Christ has in store for you? Yeah. Are you going to do them? That is what will make you happy. I will tell you two things. One is that one day I met somebody, a white man driving a taxi. He took me in London somewhere. And just I was witnessing to him, and as we were going, he asked me, I asked whether he believes in God. He said, no. You believe in heaven? No. You believe in hell? No. You believe in anything? No. So he asked me, what about you? Do you believe? Well, he was quite a strong guy. I said, I believe. I believe in heaven. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Then he said, then let me ask you a question. If you believe in God, you believe in heaven, why don't you kill yourself right now and go straight to heaven? Because in heaven, there's no problem, no difficulty, no problem. And it's a good question. Think about the exams you're about to do. Think about the struggles in your life. Huh? Why don't you just, if you believe you are going to heaven, why don't you just go today? The reason why we don't go today is in this verse. It says, we were created, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So if you haven't done your good works, you have no right to go out of this world because you have been created to do particular things. That is why you are not dying now. Did you hear me? I said, that is why you are not dying now. You cannot die now. I said, you cannot die now. Because you have not done your good works. One guy, he wrote a book and he's dead now. But he had a heart condition. And I think he died for about 7 minutes. They covered him in the theater and everything. He was declared dead. But it was 7 minutes. 7 minutes is a long time in terms of heart stopping. Yeah. They were sitting at the, you know, when the doctors finished doing operation, they sit down. Sometimes they are still wearing their gowns and they write the report of what happened in the surgery. They sit down and they write it. I did this, I did this, I did this. And this guy had died. And they were sitting down, they were writing the report. Covered, he was dead. After 7 minutes, he stood up. He just woke up like this. They almost ran away from there. What do you call it? This guy is dead now, but he was alive when he woke up that day. And what happened was that he went to heaven because he was a Christian. And the Lord told him, he said, you have not finished your works. Your work. You have to go back. What? And I hear, anytime you die and you go to heaven, nobody wants to come back. I hear the place is so posh that, like, people really don't, no matter how people are crying behind, they say, no, 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 no. They should cry. I say, I'm staying here. They should cry. I can't go back. Yeah, yeah, they should cry. They'll get over it. I say, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, I hear the place is really wild. Yeah. No matter who is crying, they say, look. Yeah. They will tell Jesus, send somebody. Me, as I've come here, my feet are here. I should go. What about if I go and I fall into temptation and then something bad happens? I am staying here. Hey! Maybe I'll go back. Something will happen on the way before I realize, hey, no, 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 no. Yeah. But the Lord told him, go back. And that's when he woke up. 7 minutes. Yeah. Listen, Kenneth Hagin had the same experience. When he died the first time, he was not a Christian. And he went down into the fire. His mother was walking on the street, shouting and praying because her son was dead. Praying. And there was a creature that held his hand. They were about to pull him in. And there was a voice that leave him. And he came back. Came up to the road. Came into the bedroom through the window. And entered his body through his mouth. And he came alive. Then he gave his life to Jesus. That he still had the heart condition. Then he died. And when he died again, that was much later. This time, instead of going down, he went up. Because when you are born again, you see, by grace are we saved. You know, it's a wild thing to be saved, but you'll be saying, God, listen, I'm the busy. I'm a nursing student, and I'm a medical student. I'm a this, I'm a that. This time he went up, and he was so happy to be in heaven. The Lord said, you have not, I have work for you to do. You can't come now. You have to go back. Yeah. And even when he died, he died in 2003 at the age of 86. He was in the hospital. He was in there, I think he was dying, or he was dead, or half dead, or almost dead, or not, but he wasn't dead. They were standing in the room where he was, and they sort of asked, do you want to go? Do you want to go? And he moved. You know, he was like in a coma. And he moved. I want to go. I want to go. Yeah, I want to go. The going comes when you have finished your works, the works for which God saved you. Until then, you are not. And actually, if you die before, it's because God has decided that you will never do it anyway. Yes. It's like there's no point even, I mean, you there's no more. Yeah. Going comes when you finish your works. So, brothers and sisters, there are good works waiting for you. Now, listen to this. Oh God, the whole message depended on this verse. All the things before were just going around. The question is, what are the good works? Now, I'm going to give you the answer to that based on the Bible. But again, listen. When Adam was created, he never worked for food. He worked for God. Yeah. God gave him a job and he worked for God. After the fall, he was, here's a ground. Go and start weeding for food. And he gave him the herbs and all those things for food. Go and farm. 95% of the world was in farming 100 years ago. And this now only 5% are into farming, 95% are into other businesses. Because the Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And because knowledge shall increase, those who are working in knowledge and information and passing on of knowledge like communications are the richest people in the world. Yeah. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
The day you start to work for God is the day that you have begun to do the works that God created you for. And it does not mean to be in full-time ministry. It does not mean to be in full-time ministry. Don't be confused. There are people who are not in full-time ministry. They are doing more of the works of God than even some people who are being paid. The first person who was in full-time ministry in our church was a Muslim. He's been working in the church for years. It doesn't mean that he's working for God. Yeah. Insecurity. Now, how will you know the characteristic of when you found the work of God? When you don't notice that you are working. Yeah. When you are not in your life's calling, you always want to go on vacation. You need a break. And you'll be counting the days. 21 working days. 14 working days. 28 working days to break away. But when you find your life's work, you want the day to be longer and you want to work more and you don't know the difference between holiday and working. I don't know when I'm working and when I'm on holiday. Which one is the holiday? Which one is the work? Which one is the holiday? Which one is the work? When I worked at Kolibu, I've worked here before. I worked here for 1 year. I tell you, I was the number one calculator of days off. Leave. 28 working days, this, that, from Monday to Friday. So I want to take at the time when you add Christmas Day plus this day. So when you add it, becomes longer. Oh. True or not true? Is it not how it is for you? Yeah. You are not in your life's work. Your life's work is a joy. It's a joy to work for the Lord. You do it with all your strength, and with all your might, and with all your heart, and with all your soul. May you find your life's work. And may you find the good works. So pray about it. Because I noticed some people are able to find it, and some people never find it. Yeah. That's why Solomon said, I hated life. I hated life and all the labor that man took under the sun. I hated it. And they will tell you, every field, we have doctors who tell their children, don't be a doctor. You have politicians who tell their children, don't do politics. My father was told by his grandpa, don't do politics. The thing they do, say, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. You will come to the same conclusion that Solomon came. I hated life. That's why I encourage you to find God and work for God who doesn't pay you what human beings pay you. Can never be hard. That's why you see that you become more and more disgruntled. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He will not let God's people go and serve God. It's a struggle, but it's worth it. He said, let my people go that they may serve me. That they may serve me. Then shall you return and see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. By now you should have put the scripture. The guy, where's the guy? By now. Yeah. Because you wouldn't serve the Lord for the abundance of all things. Deuteronomy 28, verse 50 something. You wouldn't serve the Lord for the abundance of all things. God wants you to serve him for the abundance of all things. Yes, and but with joy. If you serve God, you are finding your real work for this world. Those who serve God will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. That's what Job says. Job, I think, 36, verse 11. Where is the man? He's not there. Yes, if they obey and serve him, yes, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Yeah. That is what it means to serve God. Your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. It will be a pleasure. That's why I end all my meeting by saying it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure being with you. It was a pleasure. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. If they obey him and serve him, you will not know the difference between vacation and work. You don't know what is 5 o'clock. It was when I was at Kolibuda, I know what is 8 p.m. That's when the cover ends. And then 8 to 8, when is the emergency? 8 to 8. Is it still 8 to 8? Yeah. I've done it. I've slept at the emergency room many times. I've been the only doctor there. Every case come. I'm their doctor. I've been alone going to get blood up and down, taking lab blood samples up here, down, urine, everything. Done all. Catching babies, doing here, going this all over. Yeah. If they obey him and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Yes. Huh? Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't believe these things. But I want to encourage you to choose God. Not only be a full-time minister. You serve God. I was serving God. The marriage vows that you've been using for your wedding, I wrote it on medical ward 2. I was sitting in the ward writing. I was what we call cover, 8 to 8. I never left before 8 p.m. That's why I was there. The tiles were blue. I don't know if it's still the same blue tiles. Yeah. In the doctor's office. Yes. I've always been working for God. If they obey him and they serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. I've always worked for God. It's my secret to prosperity is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that people are fighting and killing themselves for will be added unto you. It's my secret. It's the secret. This is your secret. Yes. If they obey him and they serve him, you have been saved for good works. Not for nothing. Not for nothing. For good works. You are his workmanship. That's your destiny. I don't want you to be like that brother who went with us to Korea. Who was asked. Do you know what it costs to go to Korea? How many hours it takes when you leave Ghana today you will get there nothing less than 24 or sometimes 36 hours later that you get to Korea. Only to be told, as your friends are going, return. Go back. Go back. And they said, we have a right to refuse you entry even though you have a visa. Yes. We have a right to send you away. You go back frustrated, disappointed, dejected. That will not be your story. When you are dying, you want to die disappointed and dejected. It's like, I failed in my mission. I never even started my actual work. No, 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 no. If Nalankai had died, stand up. If she had died on that fateful fire day, you would not have even started your journey. Just fooling around in your life, becoming a nurse. But actually to take a step into your glorious destiny. I pray for you that you will fulfill your glorious destiny. This is your future. If they obey him and if they serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. You see, this verse is so fantastic that you Osmono will believe. You don't want to believe it. Yes. You cannot, the blessing of the Lord will follow you. And when the blessing of the Lord follows you, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Somebody even said, you cannot be blessed without being rich. Yes, he said, because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You cannot be blessed without being rich. You can be rich without being blessed. But if you are blessed, you'll be rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And who are those? Those who choose to serve him. This is your glorious destiny. Your future is to work for him. Your destiny, defined by the Bible, created by grace, are you saved? For we are his workmanship, created or become new creations unto good works, which God has ordained for you. You and I, we are all called. Don't say, Bishop, you are called. You and me, we are all together called. This verse is calling all of us. I said, this verse is calling all of us, summoning all of us to be his workmanship created for good works. If they obey him and if they serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity. And they will spend their years in pleasures. What pleasures are these? The work you are doing will even be the pleasure. Do you know that people who work with God, do you know one of their sins? They start to love the work more than they love God. It's one of the problems of serving God. You can actually fall in love with the work more than God. It's one of the sins of workers of God. Because the work is pleasure. The work is like pleasure. It's been a pleasure preaching to you this morning. We are going to have a concert this evening. It's just a pleasure. I'm looking forward to the concert as a, you know, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to listen to nice music. Yeah, I like it. It does something. I'm happy to do it. Hey, if they obey him and they serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Wow. Wow. This is the Bible. I told you to remember the Bible part of my preaching. Forget about the rest are the bones. and eatable intestines. But remember the Bible part. Yeah. Go back to the earth. You haven't finished. Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. Go back, go back, go back. Go back down. Go back down. You haven't finished. You haven't started. You must do it and it must finish. One day I went to wait on God. He told me, pray that you may finish your work. Pray about it that you will finish your work. Yeah. Fulfill thy ministry. May God lead you step by step till you find yourself working for Him. Amen. Yes, this is why you were created. You are created unto good works. And there's no better work, no higher work than to love Him and to serve Him with your love. Jesus said, they asked Him, what is the great commandment? He said, the great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord your God. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Because all the commandments, they are fulfilled in these two. If you love the Lord your God, you will not take His name in vain. You will not have any other God. You will not worship idols. You will not, those are the, then if you love your neighbor, your first neighbor is your father and your mother. You will not covet. You will not steal. You will not commit fornication. You will not, so you fulfill those two. You fulfill all the commandments. Yeah. You fulfill all. So loving God must become your pursuit. It's not about collecting money from the church as a salary. Loving God fulfills everything. Yes. Loving God. I serve Him because I love Him. I love Him more than I love my wife. I love anybody. Yeah. My wife knows. I can leave her for Him. She knows it. Yes. I knew Him before I knew her. I knew Him before I knew her. Yes. I knew God before I knew my own wife. Wow. What do you think? Fantastic. Oh, you want me to love her more than I love her? I should change over. If I change, you will not like me. Yeah. Because even I wouldn't even be here now. I'll be with her somewhere. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's preaching somewhere. I'll go and I'll sit there to just support her. Everybody will say, "Oh, this is a very nice husband, Joseph Squared, Super Joseph." Stand to your feet. Ask your neighbor, by the way, what is your destiny? What is your destiny? Your glorious destiny. What did they say? Huh? If they obey Him and if they serve Him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in Him and to serve Him. Hallelujah. This is your glorious destiny. Deliver us from evil, wickedness, the wickedness of making you, O our Father, an R-O-L, a receiver of little, after all you've done for us. From today, we dedicate our lives and we say, we belong to you and we shall serve you. Thanks a million. Let everyone under the sound of my voice discover a job, a work, a vocation, a service to you that will make them spend their days in pleasures and their years in prosperity, never turning away from their glorious destiny for which you have called us. We give you praise, Father. We give you thanks. We give you honor. We are glad you've called us. And we are glad we are serving you. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe somebody invited you, or you are listening on a podcast, radio, tape, CD, whatever. Listen to me, my friend. Nothing can save you except grace. Grace and mercy. This Bible says, for God who is rich in mercy. Hey, mercy. Father, we throw ourselves on your merciful hands today. If you are here today, you are listening to me. You don't know God. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand right now, and I'm going to pray with you before we close. God bless you. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ now. I'm giving you a chance of your life. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hand. I see your hand. This is an opportunity. I don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus to save me, and I want my sins to be washed away. God bless you. If you want to give your life to God, I'm giving you a last opportunity to join them. By grace, are you saved? It's not about like maybe you've been going to church. We were all going to church. Every Ghanaian goes to church. But except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This is your chance to be born again. And I'm giving you that invitation. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, take a step and come towards me in the front here. I'm waiting for you right here. Come. Come.
Come running. Come running. Come running to that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be.
Stand right here. God bless you.
His blood will flow freely.
No, ashes, come on.
It will provide your healing. Come running to that mercy seat.
Come to the front, you want to give your life.
Come running, come running, come running to that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be.
Let us pray. Close your eyes. Say this prayer with me. Listen, one more person, you are standing there to give your life to Jesus. This is Kolibu. You know life and death here, a lot of it. If you are here, you don't know Jesus. Don't take my invitation lightly. It may be a destiny changing decision. You want to give your life to Christ, I'm giving you the last 1 second. Lift your hand and come now to the front. God bless you. Now, say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. Have mercy on me. Oh Lord, I am turning around. I am turning around. I come to you, Jesus. Please have mercy on me. Please wash me in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my sins, cleansing me, washing me today. I love you, Jesus. From today, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. From today, I am born again. I will serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. From today, I will work for you and I will serve you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. God bless you. I want to give you one of my books. Those of you who have come to the front. And how many of us here also don't speak in tongues? You are a Christian. You have not yet received the Holy Spirit. You don't speak in tongues. Give me a wave. Give me a wave. Also, come to the front. Just come quickly. Come. Teresa told us to ask you to come. Come. Is that not her name, Teresa? Yeah. Come on. I'm a Christian, but I have not yet received the Holy Spirit. Come on, come all the way.
It will provide my healing. Come running to the mercy seat.
Sing it, come on.
Come on, come running, come running, come running to that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing.
All right. Now, lift your hands. Father, thank you for all these ones who are coming to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bless, encourage us to serve you better. Fill everyone here with the Holy Spirit mightily. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Now listen, all of you who've come to the front, after we close, come and give them one of my books. We are going to meet with you, isn't it? Pastor Nelson, is that not so? You meet with them right here, in front here. Don't go away. As soon as we close, once you are holding the book, make sure you come and you hold it. Or the rest of the congregation want to get a book as well. All of you in front here, please. We are going to pray with you. And you are going to speak in tongues and you'll be strong. I said you'll be strong as a strong Christian. Any spiritual dog or spiritual horse that comes to your house will run away in Jesus' name. When you go back to the house, all your enemies will bow to you in Jesus' name. So make sure you come and sit here as soon as we close. We are going to pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seats.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.